A couple of weeks ago, I began speaking about some basics in Christianity. One of the things I spoke about 2 weeks ago, or the thing I spoke about 2 weeks ago, was the importance of the gospel. The gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news of Jesus Christ. You know, we sing these songs, and at one point, Annette even said, just sing the name Jesus. Jesus, Jesus. You know, folks, sometimes we take our relationship with God just so lightly. We don't really think about the value of our relationship with God. We kind of take it for granted. And the truth of the matter is, every one of us here would be terribly, terribly lost and on our way to hell without the good news of Jesus Christ. That's the reality. As crazy and as scary as the world is, you and I have something that the world, apart from Christ, does not have. We've got his peace. We've got his love. We've got the fruits of the Spirit. This morning, that's what I want to talk about, is the fruit of the Holy Spirit. I want to talk about the fact that we need to nurture those fruits, and we need to allow those things to grow. We need to actually press into them sometimes. Sometimes we just need to hang on to them and say, you know what, God, I need that fruit in my life right now, right here, today. I need that. The fruit of the Spirit are the characteristics, they're the attributes of Christ. We can't manufacture them. And yet those attributes in our life are actually a testimony to people around us. Do you know that when you have peace in a situation that's chaotic, that offers people around you some hope? Yes? No? Three of you? Three of you realize this? When you have peace in a chaotic situation, you actually offer people around you some kind of hope. They see something in you. And we don't get to manufacture that. I was reading in Galatians this week as I was preparing for this, and Paul in the book of Galatians, he gives us this stark contrast between the sinful nature of man, or he calls it the flesh, and the fruit of God's Spirit in our life. Paul says that old sinful nature, the flesh, has desires of its own, and those desires are obvious. It's obvious that that is not a characteristic of Christ. Listen to what he says. Sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissension, factions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. In other words, the list could go on. Paul says these things are, they're works of the flesh, and they're obviously not God. Now, at times, as the church corporately, we've wanted to go after one or two of these things, you know, sexual immorality or impurity or, you know, different things, but this comes right down to fits of rage, comes right down to selfish ambition. Grab a hold of that one. Selfish ambition. Because you don't have to go all crazy to struggle with selfish ambition or envy. It's like envy. If we were each to take a pen and paper, just each one in this room take a pen and paper and sit down during the course of the week, and as you listen to people around you, as you see things going on, as you watch the news, just write down everything that you'd see as a work of the flesh. It wouldn't even take big pieces of paper. We could wallpaper this whole church, right? If you're like me, I can't even stomach watching the news. I haven't been able to watch the news. I used to think people were crazy when they'd say this. I really did. I'm thinking, man, it's just so carried away. I can't watch the news, hardly any of it. I got the remote in my hand. If I turn on the news and I want to get a hold of the weather or something, that I can't take it. It's like I've had enough of the garbage. Shut it, go, change it. I can't take it. Our news offers you zero peace. When was the last time you sat down and watched a great news program and went, just, boy, I just feel so good inside after watching that? Doesn't happen. And here's the deal. It feeds on the chaos. It wants to incite chaos in our heart. That's works of the flesh. Paul says, listen to this, Paul says, those who do those things, the works of the flesh, will not might not ought not. He says, those who do those things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Will not. Cannot. No questions. Not maybe, not flip a coin. Heads, you get the kingdom of God. Tails, you don't. It doesn't work that way. You do not win. Both sides of that coin are tails. If you're walking in that step, you will not. Now, that doesn't mean that as believers that we need to get all arrogant and all puffed up and go, oh, I kind of got this. That's not the case at all. Rather, we need to be about sharing what it is that Christ has put inside of us. The acts of the flesh, then, this list of actions that we as disciples need to stay away from. We need to run. Paul says, flee from that stuff. Flee, run, get away from it. Don't go down that road. You catch your mind going there, stop it. Paul says there's another list that we should follow after. There's another list. There's a teaching. There's a doctrine called the fruit of the Spirit. And there's nine fruit of the Spirit. It's like a package deal. You'd say nine fruits, but it's a package deal. It's one deal. It's like you get the whole package at one time. The fruit of the Spirit. It comes in when we accept Christ, and it's produced in every follower of Jesus Christ, every believer, every disciple. The fruit of the Spirit's in there. Now, you might struggle with one piece a little bit more, but that fruit is in there, and we need to nourish that fruit. We need to work work is the wrong word. We need to grab a hold of. We need to press into. I'll talk about that in just a minute. So Galatians chapter 5, starting in verse 22, Paul says, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And against such, I preached on this not too long ago, there is no law. There are no rules against being kind. There's rules against speeding. There's rules against punching people in public, right? There's rules against that stuff, but there's no rules, no law against the fruit of the Spirit. There's no law against that. Those who belong to, this is good. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. What does the flesh talk about? Remember we just talked about the flesh? Envy, jealousy, right, all those things. I should understand this. Paul's saying we don't just get to pray those things away. We don't get to ask for deliverance from envy. You don't get to ask for deliverance. You don't just pray and God send the spirit of envy away. No. Paul's saying you take envy and nail it to the cross. Jealousy, discord, nail it. You nail that to the cross. That's part of us as believers growing up. So I really you got to pay for me, Pastor. I really struggle with jealousy. Well, stop it. Well, I can't. I'm just really envious about. Stop it. Grow up. Stop it. If you want that extra thing, work overtime and get it. But stop it. Paul says that. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. I want to tell you, every time you're tempted to sin, every time, how often? Every time you're tempted to sin, you also have the opportunity to crucify that flesh on the cross of Jesus Christ. You also have that opportunity. There's no sin that's just going to jump up and get you. Boy, I didn't see that one coming. Right? Okay, I don't know if I should go. So I have got somebody that had some years ago. Well, me and my girlfriend, you know, and well, she just ended up pregnant. No, it wasn't like you drank out of her juice glass. That's not how that happened. You didn't crucify the flesh, man. You don't tell me. She just ended up. Well, me and my brother, we just always get in fights, and I just couldn't help it. I just punched him. No. You have an opportunity. Are we going to crucify the flesh? And then he goes on in verse 25 here, and he says, since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. How do you crucify the flesh? Keep in step with the Spirit. How do I stop from having all this envy and struggle? Keep in step with the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness, meekness, kindness. Push into those things. We're going to talk about that. Matter of fact, we'll talk about that right now. I read a statement that's wrong. I read a statement the other day, and it said, spiritually speaking, you're either producing fruit or you're not. And that's not true. Spiritually speaking, we're all producing fruit all the time. It's just good fruit or bad fruit. You can determine what that's going to be. Some of you aren't really sure. I don't know if I like that, Pastor. You don't got to like it. It's okay. Truth is that way. Sometimes we don't like it. Listen, in John chapter 15, I referred to this a couple of weeks ago. John is speaking to his disciples. Understand, he's speaking to his disciples. He's speaking to those who have decided that they're going to follow after him. John chapter 15, verses 1 through 8, Jesus said, I am the vine, the Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. So here, Pastor, he's saying you're not bearing fruit. No, he's speaking specifically to believers here. Specifically to believers. You're already producing good fruit because you're in Christ. There's goodness there. But here he's like, you know, you got a branch there that's dead. That's going to get cut off. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so it will be even more fruitful. My dad could grow tomatoes like nobody I'd ever seen in the world. Ever. He should have been on a gardening show. He took the south side of his garage always, and he'd make a tomato a bed. And then, I'm giving away his secrets, but he took 2-inch PVC pipe, and he put they're about 5 feet tall, pounded those down into the ground, maybe put 4 or 5 of them in the ground. And then he put a piece of PVC pipe across the top, and he tied them. They all had elbows, so they went together. Y's, actually, so they went together. And then on the end, he put a four-inch bell down here. And he'd plant his tomato plants in front of that. And then what he would do is he would tie those tomato plants up to each one of those pipes. So he had his pipes all staked up, his tomatoes all staked up. And then he would dump his water in over here. Usually added a little bit of Miracle-Gro. He'd dump his water in here, and he kept those tubes full. So those tomatoes could drink all the water that they wanted to. And then my dad was out there. Once they got about that high, my dad was out there constantly pruning. If it didn't have a flower on, he's picking off all the leaves so that nothing was getting wasted. No energy was getting wasted. And I'm telling you, by the midsummer or late summer, his plants are this high, and he's got huge tomatoes on him, and he's got tomatoes for everybody in the neighborhood. Plus, because he was a vine dresser, he was a gardener, he was picking off everything that was taking away energy that wasn't producing good fruit. There's stuff in our life that takes away energy that's not producing good fruit. Some of that stuff needs to be gone so that we can produce more good fruit. I'm going to say it. I'm going to go out on a limb. I'm going to say it. Maybe it's Facebook. Maybe it's Craigslist. Maybe it's, I don't know. Maybe it's wasting time doing whatever. If we're not building relationships and seeing that fruit in our life, God's like, you know what? I just want to take that away. He goes on here. He says, you already are clean because of me, because of the words I have spoken to you. You're already clean. So he's talking to believers. Then he says, remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit, even a fruit of the Spirit. We need to press in. We need to hang. We need to remain in the vine. I'm the vine, you're the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that's thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up and thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be disciples. Jesus wants us to be fruitful. Galatians 5:22-23, Paul gives us that list of the fruit. It's not a fruit that's produced by us. Rather, it's a fruit that's produced in us. It's not about following a curriculum. It's about following a relationship. It's about pressing into God. It's about remaining in Him. When you come to the end of your rope, let go of your rope and hang on to His. When you come to the point where you're just so frustrated because I got all this garbage, well, let go of the garbage and press into Him. There's something I saw. I heard this testimony a number of years ago, and it just always sticks with me. It was a man who'd gone on a missions trip, and they went to a village where they had no idea what the language was. They had an interpreter with them, and they tried getting the point across, and he said for a year I wondered if we really accomplished anything. Did we really accomplish? I don't know any of the language. I don't know what they understood. I don't know. He said it seemed like people were getting converted, but I just really didn't know. And so after a year he went back, and the tribal leader actually, when he walked into the village, he said one of the things that was different was people were fully clothed. Previous to that, people were not fully clothed. And he said the tribal leader grabbed him and the interpreter and pulled him aside and said, I need to tell you what resident boss is doing in my life. Resident boss. I need to tell you what resident boss. I used to get drunk. I used to drink too much. And I would fight, and I would fight with people, and I would fight with my wife, and I would fight with my children. Resident boss will not let me do that. Resident boss. You see, do we submit ourselves to Christ in a way that we have a resident boss, or are we still the boss? I saw something this week as I was reading through the fruits of the Spirit that I've never seen before. I've never discovered. It's amazing to me how God does this. And so I'm going to put these up here. And this is not I don't want to build a theology around this, but I want you to grab a hold of this. The first three qualities that we see in the fruits of the Spirit are love, joy, and peace. When you look at love, joy, and peace, those are inner qualities that reflect our relationship. They reflect our relationship with God. Part of the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, and peace. The next three qualities are patience, kindness, and goodness. When you think about patience, kindness, and goodness, you're not thinking about internally how that deals with you, but rather that shows our actions and our attitudes towards others. We need the fruit in the Spirit, but patience and kindness and goodness, I don't typically need goodness. I need goodness in my life, but I don't reflect that so much for me, but I need to reflect goodness for Grace. I need to reflect it for Alan. And the third, now again, I don't want to build a doctrine on these, but these just really jumped out at me. The last three are faithfulness, goodness, and self-control. And they reflect how we as Christians conduct ourselves really with others, but regarding our duty and our opportunities and our obligations. How does the world see us? Are we faithful? Is there a gentleness about us? Do they have self-control? That's something that reflects Christ around our duties and our responsibilities. You think about it at work. Are you a person who is faithful? That reflects Christ in our duties. In every case, Jesus is really the supreme example of each one of these virtues or these fruits. And if we had time to look through the Gospels, you'd see so many examples of this in the Gospels. But that first characteristic of fruit, I want to take it over the, we're probably going to take the next couple of weeks, and we're going to look at these fruits, these virtues in our life. Because again, I think sometimes we just take it for granted. And we're just going to run. We're believers. We do what we do. People like us, fine. They don't like us. That's up to them. But we've got an obligation to press into that. We have an obligation to remain in the vine. If we see a weakness in our own life, we need to press in to that. The first of the characteristics is the word love, which is in the Greek is the word agape here. It can be translated as affection or benevolence or charity. It's the supreme virtue of Christian living. According to 1 Corinthians 13:13, these three will remain faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. It's more important for us as believers to walk in love even than faith and hope, because the greatest of these is love. Paul puts it this way in Galatians 5:14. The entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one commandment, love your neighbor as yourself. Love. The entire law, all of it, everything here, all the Old Testament, all of it is wrapped up in this one thing, love. Love one another. It's all wrapped up in that. First passage of scripture I ever memorized as a believer was 1 John 4:7-8. King James says, "Beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love." NIV says, "Dear friends, let us love one another. For love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love." If you ask me, that's a pretty stiff indictment. If you don't love, if you can't show love, you can't express love. You know, people kind of harass me every once in a while because we have a special moment of prayer this morning before the service starts, and I tell you what's going on with Bobby Joe and Leroy, and I'm up here all choked up and about bawling. I wasn't always that way. But there's something about love that moves us to have compassion towards people. There's something about love that just breaks your heart when something's not going right. There's something about love. Our men's group is really kind of ridiculous at times. Because again, guys get sitting here talking, and the next thing you know, you're choked up because you're talking about somebody who needs help, somebody who needs something. And we're moved by that compassion, moved by love. And here Paul says, whoever does not love does not know God. We don't know God. Jesus did not say, by this all people will know that you're my disciples, by your church attendance, or by your Bible knowledge, right? By your offering size. By this, everybody's going to know that you're my disciples, by your offering, how much you give every year. By love. You love one another. People are going to know that you're my disciples if you love one another. If you don't love one another, they're going to be highly suspicious of your church involvement. Right? And should be. Maybe not of our church involvement, but of our involvement with God. For believers, love is not an option. Paul says, and this is Ephesians, I'm not going to put it up there. He says, walk in love. Just as Christ also loved you and gave himself up as an offering, a sacrifice, a fragrant aroma. Just like Jesus sacrificed for you out of love, walk in love. You're like, I don't want to love. It's not an option. Well, I'm just not a lovey guy. Well, I'm not saying you got to hug everybody that comes through the door, but you got to love. He compares us walking in love with Christ laying down his life for us. That's what he's comparing it. We got to walk in that. And it's not an option. And I firmly believe that this command cannot be filled apart from the Holy Spirit. It's not something we just manufacture. It's the fruit of the Holy Spirit. It's a result of following Jesus. You say, I'm not really moved with compassion. You need to press in. You need to abide in the vine. You need to get a little bit more of God's word in you. You need to spend some more time in prayer. You need to be praying, God, ask me or speak to me about what I need to move in, God. Show me what you see in the world. Show me. Show me. Have you ever been brave enough to pray a prayer like that? That just says, God, show me people how you see them. If you've never been brave enough to pray that prayer, I'll challenge you. Pray that prayer. God, show me my kids like you see them. Show me my wife. Show me my husband. Show me my boss like you see them. Show me that grumpy neighbor the way you see them. That's a pretty brave prayer, because when God begins to answer that, he's going to move. He's going to move. He's going to push you. He's going to push you in places you may not want to go. The second fruit of the Spirit is joy. The word is chara in the Greek. It's used over 70 times in the New Testament. And it always, 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 every time, it signifies a deep down sense of well-being or an assurance of blessedness that abides in the person, because they know they're right with the Lord. There's this seatedness. It's the only way I can explain it. It's like you just get this joy regardless of the circumstances. You just kind of get to pull up a chair and go, you know what? It just doesn't make any difference, because I'm in right relationship. Let the chaos around me go. It just doesn't make any difference, because I'm seated. I'm in right relationship with God. If you find yourself sitting in a position where you cannot grab a hold of joy, where you can't find any joy, you got to check your relationship with the Lord. Am I abiding in him, or am I out here on a branch trying to abide all by myself? You know, over the years of counseling, I've heard so many crazy things, but you talk to people about forgiveness, for example. Talk to somebody about, I've got this problem with so-and-so, and blah, 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 and it just, the conversation goes on and on, and I'm like, all right, well, you need to forgive. Well, it usually starts with, I've got this problem, and I want God to move. Okay, you need to forgive. I don't want to do that. Well, you don't have a choice. Well, yeah, I do. I don't want to forgive them. Okay, then, meeting done. See ya. Hope you like the chaos. Hope you like the turmoil. Hope you like, dare I say it, hope you like hell. God says he can't forgive us unless we forgive others. I didn't make that rule. He did. Well, I just can't forgive them. Then conversation's done. If you want to have peace in your life, you want to have joy in your life, stop hanging on to the garbage. That is not a hard concept, really. It's not. I mean, you just get a mental picture. Boy, they offended me here. I think I'll take that. I'm offended about this. I sure didn't like when they did that. I can't believe I carry all this garbage around. How come I don't have any peace? How come life is so hard? I can try to be a good Christian, but I got all this junk. Well, let it go. Stop dragging it around. I'm not talking about a flag. A flag's a flag. But we grab hold of all kinds of garbage, and we just want to carry it around. Did you hear what they said to me? Do you know how they looked when I said that? I tried helping out in the church, but so-and-so gave me a dirty look. Who cares? I get them every week. I got a few of them going on right now. Don't hang on to that stuff. You want joy? Joy is about your relationship with Jesus Christ and Him alone. That's it. That's it. It's about Him alone. And you know what? He's not going to give you joy if you're hanging on to crap with somebody else. Let it go. Don't hang on to that stuff. So I hear Raymond talk about unspeakable joy. I knew he was thinking it. I don't believe anybody can be like that. Yeah, you can. You can. But it's about our relationship with God. It's not about the circumstances that are going on around us. As a matter of fact, I would say that when we're seated in Christ, when we're in that place, that joy may become so much more evident the more chaos that there is around us. The more chaos, the more unsettledness, the more that doesn't make any difference when we're seated in Christ. Stop feeding it. Stop feeding junk. Stop trying. You know, I just had this thought. Might be even considered a revelation. Stop trying to put out the joy that God puts in us. We're going to hang on to all kinds of garbage. You're actually trying to put out the joy that God put in you. That is good. That'd preach. I could maybe even do a whole sermon on that. I might start right now. The fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, gentleness, peace, kindness, meekness, temperance, we pile all kinds of garbage on. It's like we're trying to smash that fruit. Stop it. Stop it. That's the difference between abiding in the vine, which is Christ, and abiding in the world, which is the enemy. It's the Antichrist. It's the not God. It's the world. Don't feed that evil that wants to come in. Don't feed that thing that's going to create chaos in your life. Love, joy, and peace. That's about our relationship with God. That's about making sure we're in the right spot. Feed that. Hang on to that. If you've got sin in your life, I'm telling you, you got sin in your life and you want to walk around in love, joy, and peace, the answer to that is to come to the altar and say, God, I repent. I'm sorry. Forgive me. You don't probably know this, but I spent half of the worship time up here raising my hand saying, God, make my heart right. Make my heart right. You know the attitudes I've had this week. You know the thoughts that I've had. You know the stuff that I've done. You know where my heart's gone. God, forgive me. Make my heart right. Create in me a clean heart, oh God. Walk in love. Walk in joy. Unspeakable joy. It's there. Nehemiah said, the joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Joy. Maybe you just need a little joy. Oh, I'm just so tired. Get some joy. Press in to that. Press in. That's an odd statement. Isn't that an odd statement? Press in. Press into what? Apply yourself. Apply yourself towards abiding in Christ. That's what that means. People say, press in. Oh, I gotta press in. That's a great Christian word. Doesn't mean anything. Press in means, attach yourself. Work at, not work at joy. Work at staying connected to Jesus. Get into His Word. Start praying. Repent. Every now and again, every good Christian just needs a good repentance. We just need to repent once in a while. If you haven't done it in a while, try it, because I'm sure there's stuff that's there. Just do that once in a while. That's called pressing in. It's called trying to get our relationship right with God. Christian joy is different from worldly joy. It's not like winning the lottery. I'm sure I would smile from ear to ear if I won the lottery. Don't get me wrong. And as a matter of fact, I've already thought of how I'd spend most of that money. But here's craziness. Okay, maybe this is just me. But you know, I won't even bother buying a lottery ticket till it gets up to at least a couple hundred million. Isn't that stupid? Because the first thing you got to do is you got to figure the government's going to take half in taxes. So then I'd only end up with 100 million instead of 200 million. And the first million would go to this, and the second million, 10 million would go to the church right away because blah, 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 blah. The next thing you know, it's like, well, it doesn't even pay yet. It's still not high enough. That's the problem with the world system, though. That's the problem with worldly thinking, is because it's never enough. You're not going to find any joy in that stuff. You can have all the skid steers, you can have all the trucks, you can have all, and there's no joy in that stuff. There isn't. You know, for the first week or so, and then you're going to realize there's no fulfillment, no fulfillment, no reward in this. Joy does not have to do with worldly winning the lottery or passing a test. Joy, real joy, comes from knowing Jesus Christ, because there is an eternity that's set before us in Christ. There's eternal life, not eternal death, that's set before us in Christ. True joy doesn't come from favorable human circumstances or any of that. Jesus, for example, he even told his disciples in John chapter 16, in verse 20, "Very truly I tell you, you will weep and you will mourn while the world rejoices." He's talking about his crucifixion. The world's going to be celebrating. They're going to have a party. You're going to weep and you're going to mourn. And then he says, "You will grieve, but your grief will turn to joy." We can grieve, we can have difficult circumstances around us, but real joy is about being in a right relationship with God, and then the rest of it does not really make any difference. Just doesn't. Hard things, difficult things, the loss of a loved one. Yes, that's hard, that's difficult. I get it. We might even cry. We might grieve about that. But the truth of the matter is, if they know Christ and if we know Christ, there's a glorious reuniting that's going to take place. And that's just never going to end. Jesus said, "You will have sorrow, but I'm going to see you again. Your hearts will rejoice, and nobody can take that joy from you." As a matter of fact, joy is even a commandment, if you knew that or not. Paul says in Philippians, "Rejoice in the Lord always when you feel like it." If you think it's a good idea, go ahead and rejoice. When you're happy, rejoice. Is that what he says? "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say, rejoice." Do it. "Well, I'm not really that happy kind of guy." "Well, how are you liking that world? How's that working for you?" Rejoice. Rejoice. You can make a choice. You can pursue this thing. So I can have real joy. You can have real joy. You can have joy that's like a bottomless pit. As a matter of fact, the word talks about a joy that is beyond comprehension. Really? Beyond comprehension? Really? Beyond comprehension. We can have that joy. The kingdom of God, Paul says in Romans, the kingdom of God is not eating or drinking, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Why is it righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit? Because that is the fruit of the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit resides in us, that's what we get. As long as we choose to abide in that. The third fruit, and it looks like that's all we're going to make it through today, is the third fruit is peace. And that Greek word looks a lot like Irene. I'm sure that's not it, but that's what it looks like. But it can actually be translated as quietness or rest, or this third definition, which I love the most, is set at one again. And what that means is like a restored relationship. We're set at one. My heart, I can have peace. I can be set at one with the Father. I don't have to worry about anxiety and trouble. It refers to a tranquility, a serenity of your mind and your spirit that comes from a relationship with God. The Greek word literally means everything is in place as it should be. Look around, watch the news. Do you think our world is in place as it should be? Do you think this is the way God created it? You think God would have CNN and ABC and CBS every night reporting on murders and COVID and murder hornets and all the other? Speaking of murder hornets, this week I went to move a sled. You just got to hear this, okay? So I go to move this sled in the yard, and I get all of a sudden surrounded by bees. I get stung by four bees in a matter of... I've got my neighbor's excavator, and I actually had to leave that thing running for a half an hour because I couldn't get back up to it because these bees were everywhere. So I went and I got some spray, and that said, they're pretty mad. I'm like, they're not as mad as I am. So I got some spray, filled that nest with spray. Thought that's going to fix them. So I got the machine out of there, come back the next day, kick it, they're everywhere. Told Caleb, he's like, I'll bring some spray over. Sprays it again. Next day I go over and kick it, they're everywhere. These are tough hornets. So he says, I got this. He grabs a 2x4. You probably really don't care about this. But this is the world that we live in. He takes this 2x4 and he reaches inside of this little sled and he breaks that 2x4, breaks up that bee's nest. I'm like, that'll fix them. I go up there the next day and kick it. They're everywhere. You left about that much of the nest there. They're everywhere. I'm getting ready to go for gasoline and a match pretty soon. That's how chaotic our world is, folks. Every time you kick it, you get stung by something. That is not the way God created this world. It's not how he would have it to be. But you and I can walk in peace. Everything can be as it should be in the Spirit when we push ourselves into God, when we say, I'm going to stay connected to the vine. I need more of the vine in me. I need to be that branch that's hanging on. I need to get pressed in there. If you can't find that in your relationship, our world system and the flesh will never, ever, ever produce peace. It won't do it. It will not produce peace in your life. You go after desires of the flesh, and sure, it feels good for a little while, and then comes the guilt. You know it. Every time you've ever lit into somebody, okay, like you got a neighbor that's ticking you off or a coworker, and you finally have just had it. Do it, do it, do it, do it, do it. Now I'm done. I'm going to let her fly. Wow. Let her fly. Boy, it felt so good just to let them go and let them have it. Gave them a piece of my mind. I ain't got any to spare, but I gave them what I had. And you walk away, and the adrenaline goes away, and the conviction comes in. And you go, oh, God, forgive me. You can't even look at him. It's like, oh, man, I got to go back. I got to apologize. Even if you're right, I don't like that one. Even if we're right, you entertain the flesh, you let that happen. Paul's like, you want to have peace? You got peace within you. You got God's fruit. You've got that peace within you. Paul says in Philippians, do not be anxious about anything, but by prayer. How do I press in? By prayer, by supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. Our hope is not in our experiences. Our hope is, that's a picture of pressing in. That's what it means to press in. Prayer, supplication, thanksgiving. And people in our world are so worried about COVID, and they're worried about their jobs, and they're worried about the economy, and they're worried about the election, and they're worried about this and that and the other thing. It's time to remember that love, joy, and peace are those inner qualities that come from our relationship with Jesus Christ. They are the fruit of having a relationship with Jesus Christ. They are the fruit of that. If you need more love, if you need more joy, if you need more peace, press into that relationship with Christ, and he will overwhelm you with all of it. Amen? We're going to close. Next week, I'm going to continue with these, but we're also going to have a guest speaker. Bryce is going to be sharing with us part of the service next week. Look at that. So I'm excited about that. And let's close in prayer here this morning. God, I just thank you for each person who's here. Lord, these fruits of the Spirit seem like such a basic thing, God, and yet we tend to let them go in our lives. We don't think about them. We don't ponder them. We don't even acknowledge. When you've given us a peace that passes all understanding, we tend to kind of just blow it off and go, oh, that's the way it is. No, it's not just the way it is. It's a result of your Spirit in us. And so, God, I pray that we would, with thanksgiving, with gratitude, with a right heart, Lord, we would strive towards walking in that. We would acknowledge when you've given us peace. We would acknowledge your joy. We would acknowledge the love that you have given us. Your word says it's shed abroad in our hearts. Help us to be people that exemplify that fruit, and that would be a calling card to those around us. Say, boy, I just don't understand how you can have peace. I don't understand how you can have joy. I don't understand that it's not about me. It's not about my circumstances. It's about being in right relationship with the God who has created this entire universe. So Lord, help us to walk in that truth. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Go ahead and the challenge for the week is ask God to show you how he sees the people around you, if you're brave enough to pray that prayer. Have a great day.